Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome back, everybody, to Caravan of Garbage, where we're going to do something a little bit unique, but not really that unique, because it's very much in the purview of this channel and series, Mason.
And also other people have done videos on it.
Maybe.
Maybe better? Who knows?
That's not for us to say. But yes.
Absolutely yes.
So what we're going to be looking at is a series of movies which are based on older comic strips. They're kind of pulp action heroes.
Pulpish. Like a bad glass of orange juice. Just pulpish.
Yeah, pulpish. We were trying to find like a term.
Like a glass of orange juice after you've brushed your teeth. Oh, this is pulpish. I hate it.
We were trying to kind of pinpoint what it is about this particular set of movies.
Like under what umbrella they fit under. They're characters that all sort of debuted around the 30s, except for one of them, which is modern, but they have the sheen of being an old school character. Some of them are comic strip characters. Some of them are like radio play characters.
Yeah. But we came to the conclusion, well, you thought of this, that you just know it when you see it.
And you're not interested in watching it, primarily. You're like, I don't know. It's kind of like a thing that I like.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Spider-Man, but not as good as Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, we're going to watch them so you don't have to.
That's right. Mm.
That's our catchphrase.
That is. That's ours.
Yep.
So we're kicking things off.
With a bang.
Bang,
bang, bang.
Very much so.
As if from a Thompson gun.
That would be more of a rat-a-tat-tat.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Keep the best one of those for
definitely.
The video version, I think.
So we're going with Dick Tracy from 1990. Mm. And I guess if there was one positive thing I could say about this movie is that I love a big, weird swing at
something.
Absolutely,
that's true.
And this is one of the biggest, weirdest swings
you could have. Absolutely. And the thing about it as well is...
Oh, yeah, leave a like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The thing about it being a huge...
Because we hate these. Yes. So leave us a like.
If you could, please. It's the absolute least you can do.
No, that's not it.
We'll find out where you live. We'll go to your house and we'll make you watch these movies.
That's right.
We'll do a little fun little marathon / hostage situation at your house.
We don't really hate them, but
no. The best part about taking a big swing at this particular character is nobody remembers who he is.
Yeah.
For good reasons. We'll talk about it later. But also, what I think has happened here, and I think it's the same thing that happens sort of in the modern era, is that somebody who loved a character or a series or a movie back in the day or a toy or something like that has come to adulthood and has gotten into the movie industry and is like, you know what, I think kids would like that thing that I liked when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like a Barbie or a Transformers or a G.I. Joe, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, Snake Eyes. You know what I mean? Such is the same.
Snake Eyes is going to be in these videos as well.
Absolutely.
Just so people know.
You know it when you see it. But that's the case, I believe, for Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
Academy Award winning, big time celebrity.
Because why would he do this?
Well, yeah. So apparently he learned to read through Dick Tracy comics. I hope also some formal education. but according to him, reading Dick Tracy comic strips in the newspaper. And, you know, why not? Kid's looking for a bit of excitement and he's a square-jawed, two-fisted detective and that's basically it.
That's basically it, yeah.
That's pretty much it.
I love when a star or a director, they get to a point where they go to the studio and they go, I'm going to make this thing and it's not going to make any money. And the studio has to go, all right.
Yeah, well, before this, he did two things. Mm-hmm. Speaking of swings, he did a movie called Reds, which is about the first Russian Revolution. Mm-hmm. And he won an Academy Award for that. And then he was in the movie Ishtar, which everyone hates.
Yep.
On the balance of Hollywood juice, he had enough to be like, I'm gonna make this. But yeah,
he was Bonnie or Clyde.
Yes, that's right.
He was one of the biggest stars of his era.
Yeah.
If you weren't alive in that era, and we weren't, it's kind of hard to comprehend. But you know, he was. Who's the equivalent? He was the Vinny Chase of his era.
Oh, absolutely, that's right. and so, yes, I mean, look, the very short history of this character on the big screen, mm-hmm. he'd had some, you know, black and white serials back in the day.
Yep.
And
radio plays, probably.
Yeah, almost certainly that.
Yeah.
We cannot confirm or deny.
But most famously, a long-running comic strip.
Absolutely. Never really made the jump to comic book.
Mm.
Occasionally, you know,
yeah.
but often a collected, you know, a sort of a collection of
a compendium.
A compendium. Oh, great word.
Thank you.
Terrific word. But anyway, so there was a lot of interest throughout the 70s making a big Dick Tracy feature film for some reason.
Mm.
And a lot of the time, Warren Beatty was sort of on a lock to star in that. So various movie studios bought the rights from Tribune, which was the publisher of the comic strips, and attempted to make various Dick Tracy movies, and they all fell through for various reasons. At one point, I think Chester Gould, who created Dick Tracy, was like, I demand full creative control on this, and they're like, absolutely not, we're canning this one. I think at one point, Walter Hill, who directed like 48 Hours and Red Heat, wanted to direct this with Warren Beatty to star, but I think Walter Hill wanted like a grim and gritty, kind of like a modern...
Yes.
Take on that like a 48 Hours.
And Warren Beatty was not about that for his.
No, that's right. He wanted a silly cartoony version.
Yeah.
But silly? A sincere cartoony version. Yeah. And anyway, a bunch of them fell through, including that version.
Martin Scorsese also was on board. Like he was officially on board at one point, which would have been a very different project.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But then, crucially, all the rights lapsed. Mm-hmm. They went back to Tribune. And then Warren Beatty bought them himself. He paid $3 million US dollars, like of his personal, he cracked open the piggy bank, which they all had back then, and he paid $3 million, which you might be like, he overpaid, but he got a lot for his money. We'll talk about it later.
Absolutely,
and
we will.
And then he was like, he's going to direct it, produce it, and star in it. And in 1990... it came out.
I think of this movie visually, it's very interesting. One of the things that he's done is that he's only really used the 6 original colors that were used for printing in the comic strip.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, there's your reds and purples and yellows and whatever, and there's no real shades of anything else going on there.
Mm.
I guess you could compare it to like, it's like a slightly more colorful version of Sin City.
Yeah, I had that thought,
the murdering and all that.
Well, it's
there is the murdering.
There is so much murdering. For a PG-13, I assume. So this movie came out in 1990. Sin City started in 1991.
Oh, okay.
And I believe Frank Miller, creator of Sin City, has said his influences were like, you know, old school gangster movies and stuff like that.
He just saw Dick Tracy.
He just saw all the freaks in Dick Tracy, and he's like, nah, I'll have a bit of that.
Oh, how do you feel about that, all the freaks?
I love them.
God damn. Big head, tiny face, wrinkles, mumbles.
Sure.
I don't know. Just everybody's a horrible ghoul.
Flat guy,
yeah.
Yeah, nice.
A lot of them unrecognizable.
88 Keys, not really a freak show, but you know.
Yeah, comb over. Is that the comb over guy?
that's
Mandy Patinkin, right?
Mandy Patinkin, yeah.
Wonderful. Love him. Love his inclusion. Yeah, so yeah, visually interesting, but I think aside from that, it's kind of hard to care about the main character because I don't care why he's doing it and what he's doing.
He's doing it, James, because he has a sense of justice, and that's it.
Well, apparently in the comics, the main gangster in this, played by Albert Pacino, killed his first love or his parents or something.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was.
It can be both.
Yeah. That's not mentioned here at all. Mm. He's just a cop trying to do the right thing. And frankly, like, I don't really care whether you win or not. That's of no consequence to me.
Is it because he's constantly, like, taking away their right to a phone call and stuff like that?
Yeah,
like, not reading them their Miranda rights?
He's a bit rude. He's got a big hot light on Dustin Hoffman at one point.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, all of that, yeah. I think there's some things that does work in this relationship-wise. You know, there's this kind of a love triangle between him and his best girl and Madonna. Madonna's in this, by the way. This was also the inspiration for Vogue as well.
She wrote a number of songs for this. She released the album I'm Breathless, which is songs from and inspired by the movie Dick Tracy, which includes the song Vogue. It's not in it, but it's...
Right, okay.
It's not in the movie, but it's on the soundtrack.
It's on the soundtrack, yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I think the kid's good. He's also from Hook. He's a fun little ragamuffin running about. He wants to be a mini Dick Tracy.
But yeah, I think you've nailed it. It's that there's nothing to this guy, you know?
No, yeah.
He just...
I mean, and that's the point, obviously.
Yeah, uh-huh.
That You're supposed to insert yourself in that, are you?
Well, I guess, but also I think because it comes from a serialized comic strip. You just open a newspaper every day and there's three panels or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're just in the middle of it and he's just chasing up the latest freak of a bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's no time for him to dwell on like the horrors of his past and why he chose to become a police detective and et cetera.
Mm.
It's just like, well, I do what I do.
You need five panels for that. That's and they right. normally only had three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And should have been a fold-out or a pop-up of some kind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Another thing I think is interesting.
Maybe the Sunday edition in full color was just him like crying at a window like, no, mom, dad,
or whoever. Yeah. Another thing that I think is super interesting about this is that Warren Beatty, because of his Hollywood juice, he convinced Stephen Sondheim to write five original songs. Now, he's known for like West Side Story and Sweeney Todd and Into the Woods. Yeah. That's probably a whole other video that somebody up.
Yeah.
Patrick Williams did a video on this. He'll talk about it more. It's a great video.
But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like that, and like as you mentioned, like all the stars that are involved. You mentioned
There's Mandy Patinkin, there's Al Pacino, Dustin Hoffman.
Al Pacino was in Godfather 3 the same year.
Wow. Two great movies.
Yeah. Bloody Dick Van Dyke is in this.
Oh, yeah.
The district attorney. Bloody James Caan is in this.
Oh, yeah, James Caan,
isn't it?
It's
just a whirlwind of stars and freaks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd probably recognize this, but Danny Elfman was hired to compose the score because of his work on Batman the previous year. But on working with Beatty, Elfman said, Warren was insane.
Ah.
Let's put a...
Danny, you were in Oingo Boingo. Danny.
Let's talk about...
That talk about insane, calling a band Oingo Boingo.
And his abs, have you seen that guy? It's
insane.
He's ripped, he's jacked, how's
yeah,
he doing
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the insanity of Warren Beatty, though, because there's a lot of things said about him over the decades.
Mm.
I've got
some say he's so vain that he would think that song was about him.
And maybe it was or something, I can't remember. But there's been a claim made in a book about him in 2010 that he'd slept with 12,775 women. Now, we did the math on this, right, before the show.
We tried. We're not good at
it. No, we're not good at it. So we worked out, through the power of Google, that he lost his virginity at the age of 19 and he's now, currently, at time of recording, 85 years old. But...
he would have stopped having sex decades ago.
Well, that, and he married Annette Bening in 1992, right? Around then.
Shortly after the release of Dick Tracy.
Correct. Mm. So that is roughly a 35-year window for him to have sex with 12,775 women, which works out to be 365 a year, which is obviously one a day.
Mm.
Now, that sounds impossible and unlikely. Mm. Warren Beatty himself has said of this, that would mean not just that there were multiple people a day, but there was no repetition. He also didn't deny sleeping around during his heyday. Look, I never misled anybody, and I'm a nice guy.
There you go.
Official quote.
That is so true.
Here's some other things about Warren Beatty.
Okay.
Gene Hackman turned down the role of Lips Manless because he couldn't bear being directed by Warren Beatty again after his experience on Reds.
There you go.
Sean Young was originally cast as Tess Trueheart.
Well, that would work.
Yeah, she was nearly Catwoman as well and a bunch of other things, but was fired after a few days of filming by Warren Beatty. Afterwards, Young publicly accused Beatty of firing her because she wouldn't sleep with him. But Deborah Ruff, Charlie Corsmo's mum, who is the kid, later disputed this, saying the rumour was that she had become too demanding and they just decided not to put up with that. Beatty also issued a statement saying, I made a mistake casting her in the part and I felt very badly about it.
Wow.
He was also dating Madonna at the time. Madonna and Warren Beatty, they met around the filming of this. Apparently he proposed...
probably on set.
Probably, yeah.
If not before.
They might have met the day before.
Mm.
Apparently he proposed to her and she stalled on the question of marriage, so he ended their romance and claimed what he'd given her was actually a friendship ring.
But also that's what happens in the movie.
It is, yeah.
Nobody can commit to getting married in this movie.
No, but he's doing it, yeah. So there's a lot of that going on behind the scenes, you know?
Look, some people will bring facts or thematic observations.
Or math.
But we will bring just unsubstantiated rumours and half-remembered quotes. And I think that's important.
Definitely. Mm. Yeah. So there's this character called No Face in it, by the way, or something.
The blank.
Blank face. No face man. Man with no face. Who's killing all the mobsters and seemingly manipulating Dick Tracy and gets him in jail, but he gets out, whatever. And then at the end, it's like, who is this? It's Madonna. It was Madonna's character.
Uh-huh.
Spoiler alert, obviously. So that's the ending. And that's not before there's a scene where Warren Beatty just tears into a street and machine guns probably 50 people.
Oh my God. And just the combat tactics in that man's mind, which is just stand in the middle of the street with a Tommy gun and just slowly turn around.
Does he reload? It's a comic strip.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter, does it? Mm. But yeah, I just feel like everything around this movie, and this is obviously reflected in this video, is way more interesting than the movie itself.
I think so too. I mean, there's some standout little bits.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems, too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's a moment where
there's a food montage.
There is a food montage. There's a moment where Dick Tracy has to rescue a character from being given like the cement straitjacket method of death, and he does that by replacing the guy with himself in the cement in the cement mixer, and so he just emerges covered in cement. You gotta just hit around the corner, mate.
Yeah, what pretty good. Yeah, he seemingly has like knowledge 15 seconds into the future, because there's another moment where they think they're going to ambush him, but he just set up his trench coat. Like, he knew? Because he was finding out information about the gangsters, so he'd be able to get the jump on their plans, except this time I guess he just realized that they maybe knew that at this point.
Mm.
Anyway, whatever. Again, it's comic strip logic. And speaking of comic strips, Mason, as a fan of the comic strip, Warren Beatty apparently wanted to use pretty much every character that he possibly could in this.
Okay.
In case he never got a chance to make a sequel.
But then he just knocked most of them off.
Yes, but in case he never made a sequel.
What if he did? He'd have to bring him back from the dead. Or use Flat Top Jr.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about sequels.
Okay.
Or more specifically, the future of this franchise. Because this was supposed to be like, you're the Batmans, or whatever.
Well, that's true. A lot of people have said of this movie, oh, it's just a... And I think, you know, because the timelines get muddled,
yeah,
you know, the further we go into the future, mm-hmm, a lot of people have said, oh, you know, this was just to capitalize on the success of Tim Burton's Batman. They were pretty much in
it's
production.
It's a little close, yeah.
They were too close. I think they were in production. You know, you mentioned Danny Elfman earlier. I think they were...
There's definitely an overlap.
Yeah, but I think they were too close in production. I think what did happen, though, certainly, is they saw the massive success of Batman.
Yes.
Executives saw it in the previous year and went, this will do huge numbers because we don't understand the difference, because they can't tell.
Yeah.
We're in the future and we can tell.
We know already.
We already know. At time of recording, it's been more than three decades since Dick Tracy 1990. And I don't know if you've noticed this, James, but there's been kind of a boom in like comic book, comic character to movie adaptation since then. You noticed that? Have you felt that?
Yeah,
you felt that in your waters?
I saw Blade Trinity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the one.
It was pretty good.
That's right. Even your fellow comic strip stalwarts like Flash Gordon and the Phantom got TV series reboots on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah.
You know? So it's weird that...
Ah, we should probably have to do Flash Gordon, don't we?
We'll probably have to do Flash Gordon.
I didn't account for that.
And I think we should do the Phantom TV reboot as well.
We'll talk about it when we do the Phantom. Okay. We'll squish it in there.
We'll squish it in there. But yeah, you might be thinking to yourself, well, the Batman has had literally 1 million sequels since then. Why no Dick Tracy thing? You know, you'd think anybody with any kind of financial sense would see which way the wind was blowing, you know, in the last decade or so and just gone, let's knock it out here. Tribune, owners of the Dick Tracy comic strip, surely would be jumping on the bandwagon. Absolutely. If there's money to be made.
And just to jump ahead, we normally do this closer to the end, but the budget of this was $46 million. It did blow out, and the box office return was $162.7 million. So it was a hit, like a moderate hit.
Yeah. Again, it didn't do as well as Batman, but it did enough to warrant a sequel.
To warrant a sequel.
Oh, good night, everyone.
No, you've got things to say. I can see your notes.
That's true.
Just read them. Just read them quickly.
Okay. Just burn through them. We'll get Siri to read them. Yeah, so you would think that the Tribune, upon getting the rights back after this movie was made, you would think they'd just make another Dick Tracy movie or something. A TV series, anything.
Yeah.
You know.
A Saturday morning kids cartoon.
But they didn't because they made a bad deal. Remember that $3 million that Warren Beatty paid for the rights? Turned out he got a tremendous deal.
Mm-hmm.
He got what seems to have been a perpetuity deal, which is not that uncommon.
No.
So the reason you see, for example, Fox making so many Fantastic Four or X-Men movies, despite the fact that they got increasingly worse, is because they had a deal with Marvel, the comic publisher, that if they kept making these movies, they would retain the rights. Mm-hmm. So they'd keep doing that until they'd squeezed the absolute last dollar from the public possible.
And they did.
And they absolutely did. And then Marvel had to buy 20th Century Fox to get the rights back to those characters. But even more so than that, I think it's interesting that clearly the contract Warren Beatty signed with Tribune didn't even specify what he needed to make. They made the deal with him in perpetuity, but they didn't tell him, okay, and by the way, Warren, if you want to keep making Dick Tracy stuff, you have to make a full feature film that gets released in cinemas, and it has to be 90 minutes plus.
And you have to be in it and whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever,
They just, in the contract, they didn't predict YouTube or Turner Classic Movies.
But we did.
We did.
Oh, we know that now.
We're in the future. We're in the future. Clearly, they just said, you have to make something Dick Tracy related and maybe you have to be in it.
Yeah.
Because what he's done, and you can track these down on YouTube and I highly recommend you do.
Because they're weird and bad?
They're weird and they're incredible. I honestly, one came out this year and it's maybe my favorite piece of media that's come out. So what seems to be happening is Tribune contact Warren Beatty and they say, hey, Warren, we'd like the rights back. We'd like to make something with this. And then he has a certain amount of time to make a Dick Tracy thing. And so far, what he's chosen to do is release two pieces of content.
Yeah, content is the right word.
Both of which have been shown once and only once on the channel Turner Classic Movies. One in 2008, the Dick Tracy TV special, in which Warren Beatty in character as Dick Tracy is being interviewed by Leonard Maltin, TV critic Leonard Maltin, about being Dick Tracy and the state of the world in general.
He clearly kept the coat and hat.
Yeah. And then in 2023, he released, again, one of my favorite things, Tracy Zooms In.
Yeah.
In which...
It's way weirder than the previous one.
In which Leonard Maltin, again, and Ben Mankiewicz, Turner Classic Movies host, get on a Zoom call with Warren Beatty in character as Dick Tracy, and then just Warren Beatty as himself.
Oh, it's also a retrospective of the previous special that they did. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
15 years prior.
Maybe there's a sequel rule. It has to be a sequel to the previous thing. I don't know.
It kind of plays like a Zoom meeting, but it's not edited cleanly. There's weird pauses. There's weird stuttering. Often Warren Beatty will just be, or Dick Tracy. They're both there,
and they have a... They haven't spoken in years because of some sort of feud between them that was a result of a misunderstanding. They missed having lunch at the Polo Lounge or something. There's no way we can do this justice. Just immediately quit watching this video. Go to the YouTube search bar above us and type in Tracy Zooms In. It'll be there. If it's not, Tweet at us and I'll find it for you and I'll give it to you personally.
Dick Tracy talks about like the state of media and movies and all of that, but like he's 85, so it feels 10 to 12 years too late, things that he's talking
and
about.
Dick Tracy critiques Warren Beatty's directorial
issues
and efforts in the original movie.
Yeah.
God, it's great.
Yeah. It's so niche. And then at the end, they go to lunch together. Mm. So it's Dick Tracy and Warren Beatty sitting across from each other in a very obvious split screen. And they're supposed to be having a conversation, but they're just both talking at the same time.
It's great.
Yeah. Really bizarre.
Oh, my God. And look, again, there'd be so many options these days. Like if, you know, a man so vain, he probably thought the song was about him.
He probably thought that.
He keeps claiming that he's going to make a sequel to this. He's going to produce something. But he's just made these weird specials. And I think at this point, there's so many options. You could do Grim and Gritty. You could do a modern reboot. You could do Young and Sexy.
Oh, yeah.
You could do it straight-laced. You could do a comedy. You could do a prequel where Tracy's just a guy in a regular suit and tie, and at the end the police chief's like, "You did good, kid. Pick a trench coat and hat from our wardrobe of weird color options." And he goes, "I think I'll choose a weird shade of yellow." Credits.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Because the movie would be called Tracy.
Yeah. Here's my take on this.
Yeah.
And I don't claim to know the man, you know.
Really? Is that something that you've previously claimed?
I don't have time. He's too busy sleeping with women. You can't get a hold of him on the phone. But I feel like maybe if he made another one and it was bad, people would go, "Why'd he hang on to this license for so long? It's worse than the last one."
Yep.
But if he lets the rights lapse, somebody else takes it and makes a movie that's really good, then he's going to look like a guy who hung on to this license for way too long. Like, why didn't you let somebody else have it kind of thing?
Yeah.
But if he just makes the one and he always claims that he's going to make a new thing, you know, then nobody else gets a chance to show him up.
And then he dies and he doesn't know what happens after.
That's true.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's time for Dick Trivia.
Nice.
It's a trivia segment.
Google that, by the
way. No, don't do it. Makeup designer John Caglione Jr.'s final design for Big Boy Caprice matches the intended design.
His Caprice pants?
That's right, probably. Matches the intended design conceived by Al Pacino. And since then, he's become Pacino's personal makeup man in all of his films. I would just love to see, you know how Al Pacino kind of got stuck in Scent of a Woman?
Mm.
Like that kind of performance? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see like that Big Boy Caprice look like carry over into like Heat and Scent of a Woman and Glenn Ross,
my God, yeah.
Christopher Nolan's Insomnia.
Oh, my God. Oh, speaking of, look, again, I don't know the man and I can't get him on the phone. But if I could get him on the phone, I'd be like, "Warren Beatty, here's a few options for you. How about this? The Irishman-style reboot. They could de-age you."
Absolutely.
You do a modern thing and they could de-age you digitally. Or how about this? What about a Telltale game?
Yeah,
okay. You can provide the voice.
Are you going to go and explain to him a Telltale game,
no,
are you?
No, his grandkids can do it.
Okay.
God, duh.
Producers apparently lobbied former President Ronald Reagan to play the role of Pruneface, but this was nixed by Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty is openly political, fairly left-leaning, my understanding.
That's right, he's one of those Hollywood liberals.
That's right. Mm. And I think Reagan was in the depths of dementia at that point, I'm pretty confident as well, right?
Being brought on set would probably knock him off at that point, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. When Tracy leaps off the side of the building onto a lamppost, he smashes his face into the pole. Warren Beatty was asked about this scene years later and if he felt bad for the stunt person, but he said, "That was me." It's pretty impressive, 50-year-old man doing that.
Yeah.
I like it. Mm.
And it counts as a sex, he said.
That's how he's doing it.
Yep, that's right.
Okay.
Accidental falls count. He's racking them up these days.
Some other names that apparently were considered, because he wasn't always necessarily going to be Dick Tracy, but we had James Caan, Harrison Ford, Richard Gere, Mel Gibson, Paul Newman, Robert Redford, George C. Scott, and Tom Selleck, all under the one trench coat.
That's right.
So we talked about box office and budget and all of that, but this actually became the highest grossing film of Warren Beatty's career. And here's a quote from Al Pacino in regards to this film.
Does it start with hooah?
Hooah!
Thank you.
A wonderful artistic film. A wonderful artistic film. Even though now it's like it doesn't even exist.
Yeah. Whose fault is that, Warren Beatty?
That's the thing, right? People don't know about this.
Mm.
And I know a big part of that is because he's just holding on to the rights. But people don't talk about this.
Mm.
Just like they don't talk about The Shadow. Mm-hmm. Just like they don't talk about other movies we'll probably talk about.
Yeah.
What is it about this that the movie in itself that is so kind of like, who cares?
I mean, look, as much as I want to say, okay, well, the thing about comic book movies and superhero movies that makes them successful is that they have heart and they have, you know, the good ones, they have heart and they have, you know, a They have themes and so on and so forth. I think the thing about a lot of comic book movies is they have cool as hell gadgets and cars and stuff.
He's got that watch.
Yes, he's got that watch. Post-Batman 1989, I think people were, you know, because that had, you know, a tragic backstory. Yep. But it also had that scene where he flies the Batwing over the moon and makes the bat symbol and he flies it down. He shoots a bunch of rockets at the Joker and then the Joker has that really big long gun.
That was freaking sick.
It's freaking sick, right?
And we never did work out whether that was an extended gun or he just had a really long barrel down his pants leg.
No, we did, James.
It would have been an extended gun, right?
Yeah, because otherwise he collapses it. You see him collapse it.
I don't see anything. And I, quite frankly, I resent the accusation.
Oh, wow, okay. Look, he's just not that interesting.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Again, everything else around this?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a reason that, you know, your costume superheroes made the jump to, you know, the bigger screen or to comic books and, you know, et cetera. And I don't think Ruffy's got what it takes.
He hasn't got it, kid.
That's right.
You ain't got it.
Mm. I mean, you know, he's got an iconic look.
Yeah, obviously. I agree.
But that's about it.
That's about it. Know? Anyways, come back next week for famous 1930s character, the Rocketeer. He's from the 80s. He really screwed this up, didn't he, the Rocketeer? But I'm looking forward to talking about that one. And if you do want to see that early, you can actually head over to BigSandwich.co where these videos always go up early, don't they?
That's right.
That's not the only thing that goes up there. We also do video game Let's Plays. We also do movie commentaries. We also do bonus podcasts. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that comes out there Sunday as opposed to Monday. Or you can just check that out on its own YouTube channel, Spotify, Apple, or whatever, et cetera.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Final thoughts on Dick Tracy?
I didn't love it.
Yeah, I wanted to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. When all those guys got shot.
That was cool.
I thought Breathless Mahoney, too horny.
Yeah?
Yeah, dial it back, lady.
Yeah?
Just settle down.
Settle down.
No, remember you're in a PG-13 movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, and we're in the future. I mean, we know that, but she obviously didn't.
That's true.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.